Now, over the last 8 weeks, we've been looking at some statements, talking about the way of Jesus, and it was put on a little blue card like this, and I've kind of prompted this a couple times, but I have to ask, has anyone memorized them yet? Okay, here's the deal. First person to do it, I've got a prize for you. But here's the condition. You have to come and do it from here. Or I'll bring a microphone to you. I'm a little gracious. Again, this is not... This is just a tool. It's a prompt. It's a prompt to remind us of what God is looking to do in us and through us. But it also serves as some common language for us, some ways that we can describe together what Jesus is looking to do. Because as his followers, we're seeking to become like him. And so I'll say this to the Truth Matters class. I know you guys have been kind of going through the statements. I'll give you a different prize if you can do it, because I got a book for anyone who does it first. But we'll find something full of sugar. No, probably won't sugar. Not sugar, that wouldn't be good. But we'll find... I really want to encourage you to dig into these statements and to use them as a prompt, because I believe the Holy Spirit will prompt us through them. Over the next number of months, what we're going to be doing is studying the life of Jesus. Because again, as disciples, we're seeking to become like him. He is our rabbi, to use first century Jewish terminology. We're his disciples. Jesus makes it possible for us to become like him because he sent us his Holy Spirit. That's why that first statement of the way of Jesus is, I have begun following Jesus and am depending on the Spirit of Jesus in my journey. We have to have the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who leads us to Jesus. In his book, Just Like Jesus, Max Licato asks a very interesting question. Here's a question I want you to ponder for a moment this morning. What if, for one day, tomorrow, Jesus became you? Monday at midnight, something amazing happens. You, for 24 hours, kind of have an out-of-body experience, and Jesus lives in you. Nothing else changes. Your schedule is the same. Your appointments are the same. The family members you're going to interact with, that's the same. The job that you have or whatever's going on, the chores you have around the house, your health, the same. Your bank account, the same. Your frustrations, your joys, the same. The only difference in your Monday is that Jesus is walking in your shoes, not you. He lives your life with his heart. Your heart gets the day off. His priorities run your schedule. His will governs your emotions. His love directs your words, your actions. I mean, you get it, right? What if for one day, 24 hours, Jesus walked in your shoes? What might that look like? I mean, maybe it seems a little bit idealistic or, you know, science fiction-y. How much would be different about your attitudes, your behavior, your character? Now, the point of this question is not to bemoan the gap that we may feel, go, wow, I mean... I'm a miserable wretch because Jesus would run my life a whole lot better than I'm doing. That's not the point of the question. The point is not to bemoan the gap. Remember, one of the statements is, I am learning to be like Jesus in my attitude, behavior, and character. See, sometimes seeing the gap helps us to know what a next step may be. Because none of us, I should actually be apologizing to my family, because I mean, I'm the one who's living my life right now. I'm running it. It's, you know, none of us are going to have a Monday where Jesus is running everything. We're still learning. But that's our goal, isn't it? Isn't our goal as a disciple of Jesus that our Monday or our Tuesday or our Friday would be that we and everyone else around us would experience Jesus for those 24 hours? Where it's not that, you know, we're all of a sudden not ourselves, but we become truly the person God designed us to be in full. Because that's what salvation is for us in Jesus. Walking as Jesus walked. Let's look at our passage this morning. It's 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. And I'm going to be reading from the New International Version this morning, particularly for one word, and we're going to get to that word. But it's here on the screen, but I encourage you to read along in your Bibles. John, the brother of James, apostle of Jesus, wrote these words to the church that he had pastored. And he wrote these words, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." Actually, go back one second. Sorry, Ron. Notice John goes, he's writing this so that we won't sin. But if anybody does, he's saying, I know we're gonna. We're all gonna sin. We're all gonna sin tomorrow. We have one who speaks to the Father in our defense. I just want to say a word of encouragement to any of you here who you may be struggling with, I'm just a miserable person. I've done things, or I'm just... You're struggling to forgive yourself. I want you to look at these words. You have one who speaks in your defense this morning. You have one who speaks in defense of your yesterday. You have one who speaks in defense of all your yesterdays and all your tomorrows and today. It's Jesus, the righteous one. Verse 2. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. Verse 4. The man or the woman, the person who says, I know him, I know Jesus, I know God, I'm following him, but does not do what he commands is a liar. There's some tough words. The truth is not in him. But if anybody obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. Obedience, I've read one person say, obedience is God's love language. We want to show God our love, our appreciation for him. He says, follow me, obey my commands. This is how we know we are in him, John says. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. We're going to come back to this verse. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you've had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Now, over the next number of months, in a way, kind of the key verse, the theme verse for everything that we're going to be talking about and looking at, I'm going to encourage you to be reflecting on and praying about and putting into practice, really comes back down to verse 6 of what we read. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. The New Living translates it as whoever claims, those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. See, this word walk is not talking about, you know, an action like running or swimming or crawling. It's not, that's not the idea of walk, the word picture that's in this word. The meaning of this word is following, making progress, regulating our lives, how we conduct ourselves. So we might translate this verse, you know, whoever claims to live in Jesus, whoever claims to be a disciple, whoever claims to be his follower must regulate their lives as Jesus did. We're called to become like Jesus, right? We know this. Jesus is our pattern. And we find this throughout the New Testament. John 15:12. Jesus said to his disciples, my commandment is this, to love one another just as I have loved you. John 17:18. Just as you, and this is in his prayer. You know, Jesus prayed for you specifically. John 17, we see his words over all who would follow him. Here, he's praying for us, saying, just as you sent me into the world, praying to God the Father, Jesus says, so I send them into the world. We want to know how we've been called to minister and to be a blessing into our world? Jesus is our pattern. John 20:21, so Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. Just as the Father sent me, I also send you. There's more. Romans 15:7. Receive one another then, just as Christ received you. Man, that's a high standard. Ephesians 4:32. Instead, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. What is the nature of the forgiveness we're to give? Remember when Peter went to Jesus, asked, you know, how often do I need to forgive? 7 times? Thinking he was putting a pretty good standard there, because traditional Jewish teaching at the time said you only had to forgive someone 3 times. And then after that, you didn't have to forgive them anymore. You could cut them off, write them off, ignore them. Peter, hey, I'm going to double it. I'm going to add 1, 7. That's kind of a holy number too. Hey, Jesus, 7 times? Jesus' response? 70 times 7. Which wasn't, no, it's 490 times, Peter. It's like, nah, you don't keep count. You keep forgiving. Why? Because that's what Jesus does. There's more. 1 John 3:16. We have come to know love by this, that Jesus has laid down his life for us. Thus we ought to lay down our lives for our fellow Christians. Philippians 2:5. You should have the same attitude toward one another that Christ Jesus had. We continue in Philippians. This is where Paul quotes one of the first, maybe the first, Christian song. Your attitude should be like Christ Jesus, who humbled himself, took the form of a servant. He didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he went to the cross. Jesus is our pattern. Jesus is not just looking to empower our lives. He is looking to live our lives through us, to teach us how to live the life of the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So, if I leave the message right now, so here's your application. Go out tomorrow and be like Jesus. Anyone feel that, yeah, I'm capable of doing that? See, and sometimes that's how, sometimes this gets preached. And at times, if I've done that, I'm sorry. I don't mean to come across that way. Again, and I can't emphasize this enough, and I came across this little nugget just a couple months ago, and it is just blessing me. The meaning of the word disciple is, again, that we have a relationship with our rabbi, our master, our teacher, our Lord. That we're seeking to become like him in his attitude, behavior, and character. But the power to become like Jesus has nothing to do with you and I. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And sometimes, and I know I am very guilty of this at times, we try to be like Jesus ourselves. And we learn and we study and we memorize and we do all these things and we serve because I'm going to do what's right and I'm going to become like Jesus. And we fail to remember that the power to become like Jesus doesn't come from us in the smallest iota. What comes from us is trust and obey, for there's no other way. It's giving God space, surrendering to him so that he can fill us, move us, lead us. You know, we're not called to become like Jesus, you know, externally. Right? And we know this. We all know this because I see none of you as men wearing, you know, a robe and sandals this morning. Right? You know, you're not looking to be like Jesus on the outside. We understand that we're being transformed from the inside out. And again, that's that meaning of this word walk. That we regulate our lives. This is where spiritual disciplines comes in. They prepare us to listen and then to follow what God says to us. I mean, that's part of the reason why we pray and part of the reason why we gather to worship. And when we celebrate what God has done, it's to remind us, prepare us to hear him anew. To hear him say, what is today bringing? How are you looking for me to live today? Jesus, put yourself in my shoes and live your life. Use me to do it. In 1896, a man named Charles Sheldon wrote a book. Some of you may have read it. It's called In His Steps. Has anyone heard of the book or read In His Steps? There's a number. There's a famous question that comes from the book that Charles Sheldon wasn't the first person to come up with a question. It actually has its roots all the way back in the 11th century. But all of you here know the question, I'm sure. WWJD. What would Jesus do? Right, you know, some of you, did any of you have the necklace or the bracelet or, you know, made the rounds, you know, what, 15, 20 years ago? But in the book, through the influence of the pastor in the town, many people started looking at the situations around them and started asking this question, you know, what would Jesus do? And for the pastor, if, you know, it's a long time since I read the book, but my memory is that, you know, he saw just someone who's homeless. And then the question came and just started spawning this movement within the church and within the community of what would Jesus do? Now, I want to say to us this morning, asking the question, what would Jesus do, is not a bad question, but I think there's two better questions for us to ask. Because here's one of the issues that can come with what would Jesus do. We can be asking ourselves what we think Jesus would do. And that's not what we're called to do as disciples. Jesus has given us better resources than that. So I want to suggest two better questions this morning. And the first is this, and I have my own acronyms, and you may have seen this one before. This one's not new to me. It's WDJD. So if you have one of your, if you have that bracelet, you can pull it out and you can just, scrape off the letters or change it, put magic marker on it, whatever you want. WDJD. What did Jesus do? We need to be rooted in the example and the life of Jesus. We need to be rooted in the life that Jesus has given us. We need to remind ourselves, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do for me? What example did Jesus do? How did he love? How did he love those who were oppressed? How did he love the poor? How did he love those that were hostile towards him? How did he love those who he was investing in? What did Jesus do? And again, that's where I just want to encourage us. The seven statements can be prompts for this, as well as for this next acronym, which I admit right up front, you can tell that marketing is not my strong suit when you see this next acronym, because I don't think, well, it'd fit on a bracelet, but probably not in a necklace. Here's the next one. JWAYWTDIATM. Anyone want to take a guess? No. Jesus, what are you wanting to do in and through me? It's another way of asking, what would Jesus do? But we want to make sure that we're asking Jesus the question, because he's given us the Holy Spirit to lead us to the words of Jesus, to empower us to live the life of Jesus, so that in that moment, in that conversation, in that day, that Jesus does, in a way, walk in our shoes. So, I'm not encouraging anyone to make, just let's not start making bracelets with all of this, because that's just way too long. But I think it's the better question to ask. Jesus, what did you do? What did you do for me? How have you blessed me? Jesus, what are you wanting to do in and through me? In this relationship, in my workplace, in my building, in my family, in me. Because I think as we ask these questions, we will allow Jesus to walk in our shoes. And that's what we're called to be as disciples. And so over the next number of months, we're going to look at the life of Jesus, and we're going to look at what he did, and more importantly, in some ways, we're going to look at how he did it. Because it can be easy for us to look at what Jesus did and then go, okay, well, what did Jesus do? And not maybe go further and go, Jesus, what are you wanting to do now? I know what you've done. Use me. Guide me. Lead me. Use me to be a blessing, because we've been sent by Jesus to bless others and invite them to follow him. So my question for you this week is just this. How is God leading you to help yourself follow him? How is the Holy Spirit leading you? Is it that maybe you just need to spend some time this week just writing promises that God has given you, or putting down or sharing with someone the blessings that God has given in your life? In the Old Testament, the people of Israel, they take, a huge event would happen, right? The Jordan River dries up, the nation passes through, and they set up a monument of 12 stones so that in future generations they can go, hey, mom, dad, what's that hunk of stones over there? Hey, Junior, that's when God delivered us. That's when God dried up the river. That's when God provided. Maybe you need to set up some markers for yourself to remind you what Jesus did for you. Or maybe for you it's just learning to speak, learning to listen to the Holy Spirit. And so maybe it's having a conversation with someone that you know and go, you just seem to me to be someone who hears the Spirit in a way that I don't, or I'm trying to learn, and just have a conversation. Because here's one of the amazing things, and it's why, you know, again, one of the statements, I am helping someone and someone is helping me to be a growing follower of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is within each and every one of you here today as a follower of Jesus. You have the greatest teacher ever within you. Doesn't matter whether you've been following Jesus for 50 years or 5 days, you have something to bless someone else with. Never let anyone or Satan sell you short. You have the capacity to be a conduit of words of life to someone today. Be open. Jesus, what are you wanting to do in and through me? Let's stand as we close. Father God, thank you that you have done it all. That, Father, you just ask us to trust. You ask us to follow you. And Father, on behalf of all of us, I just want to say this morning, Lord, at times it is hard to trust. But you're worthy. Father, for when it's hard for us to trust, may we look back to those monuments that you have given for us in the past. The acts of deliverance, the acts of provision, the acts of love and grace. Father, we love you. And we need you to work in and through us. Holy Spirit, lead us, guide us, empower us. May we be a blessing to one another over these next 7 days. And may we be a blessing to our neighbors and our coworkers, our friends and family, especially those, Lord, that do not know you as Lord and Savior. Use us to your glory, Lord Jesus, I pray.